Pretend you're me. Make a managerial decision. You find this. What would you do?
Well, I gotta tell you, I'd be very, very careful who you talk to about that, because the person who wrote that is dangerous. And this button-down Oxford cloth psycho might just snap and then stalk from office to office with an Armalite AR-10 carbine gas-powered semi-automatic weapon, pumping round after round in the colleagues and co-workers. This might be someone you've known for years. Someone very, very close to you. Tyler's words coming out of my mouth. And I used to be such a nice guy.
Listen up, all you late night Nighthawks. It's time for the most dangerous man on late night internet radio. It's Tyler Hollywood, and he's ready to bring you to the bad side.
What do they find the best about Bulbert?
I don't know what they find the effective about Bulbert.
I find nothing effective about Bulbert.
Neither do I. I like Bulbert.
I like Bulbert a lot.
Yes, Bulbert are good.
I like vagina.
Vagina's good too.
People should simply not be allowed into the country unless they speak English. Period. Oh, and under no circumstances should they be allowed to drive taxis.
You come pay me for egg roll right now.
Oh, you do have an Indy. Very good.
But you know you eat my egg roll too.
When they run around in horses and buggies, I don't play the
Take it away. I'm going to go brush my horse. And yes, that is a euphemism. Exactly, you beam is doing.
I've never met anyone more wrong in my life.
And now, live from the CIC on the USS Hollywood, he's a revenue-generating and entertainment portion of the show, ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Hollywood.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, please keep it going. Thank you. Thank you. Keep it going for the Overlord. All right. Woo! Hey, you keep your shirt on. You, my dear, you can take yours off. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the program. My name, of course, is Tyler Hollywood. The show is The Bad Side Live. Somebody asked me the other day, why do you call it The Bad Side? I had to ask them, why don't you listen? I think it's quite obvious where we go sometimes on this particular show. There's a reason I'm not on SoFlo Radio. All right, there's a reason I'm not on All Digital Radio Network. There's a reason I'm not on Dewberry Jam. I have a slight fascination with bad things. Things that most people don't want to talk about at 9 p.m. in the evening. Sometimes things that people don't want to even think about at 9 p.m. in the evening. Much less my afternoon replays. Just think of how bad that is, listening to this show in the afternoon. Although, you know what? I got high numbers in the afternoon. That I can attest to. Welcome, of course, to all those places that dare have me on. That would be KTRX 1650, The Mighty, in North Dallas, Texas. 99.9 The Crow, KQRO, I believe. That is in McKinney, Texas. Except for Tuesdays. Still can't bump this guy out of the Tuesday 9 p.m. time slot. It's distressing me. Also, Bullhead City out there at Radio Brandy. Hello to all you. And of course, everybody at 1.fm, one of our newest affiliates, one of our new bigger affiliates. We cannot forget Detour Talk out there covering Knoxville, Tennessee, Johnson City, Tennessee, Kingsport, Tennessee, and of course Bristol, Virginia. Lots of people listening in over there. Hello, hello, hello. And I'd be remiss if I did not mention the flagship station, to yours truly in the Bad Side Live. That would be Talk Radio X, right here at TalkRadioX.com, the global streaming radio network, where I make everyone in the world famous. Now, if you're eating something right here, right now, I want you to put it down for a second, okay? And if you are a dog lover, and a dog walker, you will be familiar, possibly, with this. And if not, you might be pleasantly surprised. Otherwise, I would suggest, whether you're a dog lover or not, setting down your food right here, right now.
Are you tired of taking your dog for a walk and picking up after their mess? Are you tired of using grocery bags or products that are heavy and not useful? It can get very messy when your pet goes in the house or on the sidewalk or even your neighbor's lawn. We have the answer for you. Introducing Poo Trap, an amazing new innovation that eliminates the need of picking up after your dog. Poo Trap is a unique new product that fits any size dog without any hassles, and your pets will love it too. It's easy to install on your dog and makes your walking experience fun. Walking your dog just got easier with a Poo Trap. No poops, no whoops. Poo Trap is available in 8 sizes and 3 colors. There are no substitutes. Poo Trap, the magic poop collector. Order yours today. Call 888-POO-TRAP. That's 888-766-8727. Call now or visit our website at www.pootrapusa.com. Order yours today.
Okay, now, I am not kidding. That is a real honest-to-God ad. I thought it was a YouTube joke at first. You know, because I've seen real stupid things on the internet, you know, fake ads. And I thought, this can't be real. It really looks like a plastic baggie attached to some cylindrical plastic nubby piece which attaches to a long leash, a long body leash for a puppy dog, and attaches right around the the bunghole area, if you will. And your dog can, of course, comfortably go poop without having to poop in the grass. Which totally goes against any instinct a dog has when it's going poop. Alright? And again, I've just realized I'm talking about poop again, and I think I'm channeling Antibert. Antibert, you have to get back on air, dude. Seriously. I gotta stop talking about poop. You know, I think it's a 9 p.m. slot. I may actually have to change my time slot because I don't think anybody can talk about anything except for poop between 9 and 10 p.m. I really can't understand this. Why am I doing this? And, of course, last week I talked about the comfort wipe, what I like to call the poop stick. What has happened to me? Maybe Psycho Rabbit is right. Maybe somewhere I've lost my balls. I need my man balls back. I gotta talk about tougher things. I don't know what it is, but I will say this. Just looking at the poop stick and the poo trap and this thing that I saw the other day called the Kush. Have you seen these things? It's a little plastic piece of porcelain or smooth plastic, whatever it is. It's slightly shaped. And women can stick this between their breasts while they're sleeping so that they're, you know, the boobies don't flop and be uncomfortable when they're lying on their side. It keeps the form, keeps the shape for $55. Why don't you just get a can of Coke, for Christ's sake? And this poo trap. Are you so lazy you can't just take a plastic bag inside out and just pick up the poop? I mean, it's just poop. You wipe your ass every day. I mean, I tell you, people have gotten completely lazy with all these new technology breakthroughs. I mean, congratulations. You got yourself a cell phone, a laptop. Your fridge even tells you how much water it has filled your cup with. You got a poo trap for your dog. You got a poop stick for your ass. You got a Coke can for your boobies. Technology has made it possible to be everywhere and do anything without actually being inconvenienced. Or without actually being anywhere. So now we are faced with a universal trend toward mediocrity. Now, with so much information and access to choice, people are becoming satisfied with just getting by rather than striving for excellence. There is more value placed on the quantity of things that we can do rather than the quality of our output lately. It is a bad state of events, and is the reason why bridges fall down and planes fall out of the sky nowadays. It is even the reason why carbon offset credits are considered an effective way to save the planet. And yes, I would like a buzzer on that. Thank you, Mr. Producer. Well, Psycho Rabbit checks in, by the way. He says, perhaps it's the curse of the fecal ghost. Quite possibly. Getting back to technology and you being a lazy ass, certainly there are many perks and positives to having such an unprecedented array of tools that are so readily available for relatively little expense. Well, except for the poo trap, which is $29.95. So your dog can poop in a bag. And you don't have to touch it. I mean, there are some things, though, that are useful. There's some things that, they're used to save lives. Bring clean water to places that have none. Allow people to have a voice where they are being suppressed and denied basic human rights. Technology is clearly a great thing. It has the capacity to automate redundant tasks and provide endless hours of entertainment. It negates the need to leave the home, the room, and hell, you know what, even the chair we even sit in right now. Now, back in the summer of 2003, the entire Eastern Seaboard went without electricity for, quite a few hours. People panicked. They had no idea how to exist without something that powered so many of their things, now considered essential to living everyday life. Now, some did the truly unusual. They gathered everything they could go bad in their fridge, if it was going to be an extended period of time, and that of their neighbors. And they went outside. They fired up the barbecue, the hibachi, whatever they had. And the battery-operated radio. And they had a picnic. They spent time with each other. Oddly enough, when the power came back on, they rushed right back inside and went back to surfing the net and watching TV. And calling their friends to talk about the big blackout of 2003. Now, nobody is saying that we are now lazy because we do not have to go out to the well for fresh water each day or stand in line at the market each and every early morning. Because there's no such thing as a refrigerator. We can warm up food in seconds using microwaves and stand in the middle of a forest and call for help on a PDA. We can call the police from halfway around the world because somebody we don't know is crying out for help in a chat room, for God's sake. Now, sure, there are benefits, but let's be realistic, people. Most people do not simply use technology for essential needs. Do you really need that BlackBerry? Do you really need that cell phone? Do you really need the poo stick? They have turned it into life-sustaining tools and avoid tasks and chores by flicking a switch or pressing a button. Society has become helpless when unplugged. We used to have to get up and go to the library to research projects for school. Now libraries are depleted of truly useful volumes. Even librarians point to the Reb as a place to go to instead of aisle EE-647 through -749. Anybody who's ever tried to find information online should be able to attest to how easy it is to get distracted and find far more and far less than what was aimed for. I know I do all the time. When I was researching my business, I only used the net for part of my research. The other research had to be done via the phone because there was way too much information to sort through on the internet. And anybody who's ever tried to find information online should be able to attest, again, how easy it is to find this information. And while we're on the topic, the quality of information out there is not the same. Trust me on this. Much of it is unreliable and unverified. And anyone can publish anything, and we are all too busy multitasking to dig deep enough to get the true insight. So really, do we need to be as lazy we are, as we are with all of this technology. I don't know, but I've got to go try this poop crap out on my cat.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the bad side.
This afternoon, I looked at my utility bill a little closer. Now, I have to cut corners here, people. Things are a little tight in the summertime. All right, and I have to cut a few corners. So I start scrutinizing some of my bills. I want to make sure I'm not getting overcharged for anything. And I've had a problem with my power company. They have a lot of things on here that I just can't understand, and they have a billing process that I can't understand. First and foremost, one of the processes that they have, they tell me that they take a meter reading every other month. So one month you get an exact reading, and the other month they estimate. All right? Now, I know that every year companies decide that they need to make more money somehow, some way. And every year I make a promise that it's not going to come back on me as any additional expense to me. Now, sometimes to make good on this promise, I must stick it to the man. The man, of course, is no one of stature, just a generic term for the strong-arming corporate thievery of the leveraged businesses that I have to deal with. But when you put a sumo wrestler on a seesaw, just for an example, you make it hard for the other side to meet you in the middle. And when you can't meet in the middle, just throw them the short end of the stick. Remember, it's the heavyweights who drown first, so short sticks aren't going to save them. Now, my utility company, as I was saying, charges what they call an internet convenience fee of $2.50 for paying my utility bill online. by credit card. That's I used to do that. The same price for EFT payments. Obviously, paying online is the most convenient method for some people, or so I would assume, especially in this you know world in which we rely on technology so much. You know what else is convenient? The fact that this is the only company servicing my building's water and sewage charges as well. You know, maybe I should start charging a monopoly convenience fee for the lack of alternatives around here. And yes, I know what people are going to say about this. Is this stemming from the Fairpoint fiasco that you had a couple of weeks ago? Absolutely. Nonetheless, up until a few months ago, I still had the option of writing a check and avoiding this internet convenience fee. Since I value 3 minutes of my time at less than $2.50, I handwrite and mail a check at a cost of, say, 45 cents, or whatever current inflationary value the USPS has allowed their bitter government employees to demand. Now, however, I've noticed that in addition to a water charge and a sewer charge, which, when I was signed my lease here, I was told by the landlord that it is included in the rent. On top of these new charges, there is now a $3.30 billing charge. This regardless of how you choose to remit your payment, whether you write a check, pay online, or have it taken out of your checkbook. So I had to make a call. What does this mean? Basically, after I was sent around to a few people, Rebecca told me today that you are being charged to figure out how much you should be charged. What? A $3.30 billing charge. It is a charge that Rebecca said is charged to me for them to figure out my bill. How much I've used and how much they should charge me for that. I mean, this would be a kind to going to your local bar and having your bartender say, "Damn, you've had some beers. I can't even remember how many you've had. Excuse me while I retire to the back room and figure how drunk you are. Oh, and you'll be billed at my normal accountant's consulting rate on top of the product you've consumed." Yeah, right. Like this bartender is going to do that if he wants me to come back to his business. And plus, what the hell do these folks in the office get paid for? Linemen get paid to keep the power serviced and operational. I understand that. I work with these guys. Meter readers collect the data. And the folks in the office are paid to handle our calls and to bill us properly. As it is, they don't need to calculate anything because it's all done by computer. I know because I called back and verified this fact when I was trying to figure out why they charge a billing charge to tell me that it's a way to figure out my bill and how much I'm going to be charged. If the computer already does this, why are you charging me for something the computer does the work for? So, I basically told Rebecca, well then stop charging me a calculation fee, or whatever you want to call it, a billing charge. Or I'm going to do it myself. You know what? I will do this myself. And I will send you what I really feel I should owe. And that's going to be a lot less than what you bill me. All right, Rebecca? Of course, I got no positive answer out of that. Now, one more thing before we take the bottom of the hour break. Body flags. It's the 4th of July, people. I love my country. I love the time that I spend promoting myself and the fact that I'm patriotic. I like to carry around flags. I like to show the flag. I like to show respect to the flag. But I got to address you people that walk around in these flag shirts and flag pants. What are you thinking? You know, nothing shows Lady America that you love her like wrapping your smelly pubes in a flag. Thanks for the freedom, now kiss my taint. Am I wrong to assume that most people who actually walk around in American flag clothing are strongly against the desecration of old glory? Yet these same super patriots don't think twice about ripping apart the very flag they claim to hold so dear by jamming their fat, sweaty body parts into it? I think the flag would rather die a quick death from burning than spend the next 15 years pressed against your wiener. I fully understand what the flag stands for and why people love and respect it. Hell, my grandfather fought in World War II, and I can remember how upset it would make him to see the flag touch the ground. Even if it was a small child letting his tiny flag touch the ground by, scrambling for that candy that we all toss out on the 4th of July parade, which we'll be doing tomorrow, by the way. Not angry upset, but more like the emotion you would feel if you saw someone accidentally knock your grandmother over and just keep walking, you know, no apologies. It was generally heartbreaking to him. The flag meant something very real to him, and he was willing to die for it. I wonder how many people would be willing to die for their American flag flip-flops. Isn't that the same thing? What makes one object covered in stars and stripes different from the next? If some dirty hippie can't burn the flag, why can you literally shit your pants while you walk around in your flag pants at the state fair? Are you starting to see how smart I am now? And did you notice that my last five sentences ended with question marks? Does that make me a bad person? Well, maybe to Mark Hallburn. We'll be right back. That's the number here at the radio station, at the global streaming radio network, that is Talk Radio X. So, I want to talk to you ladies about something. It was brought up to my attention this afternoon by a young lady friend of mine. And It's just scoping out your boy's texter. That's what she called it. That's what the 411 with these young people is. They're slang for everything. All right? I want to spend a few minutes with some of you ladies who find it necessary to go through a guy's stuff. Just looking for bad things. Whether it's, you know, his dresser drawers, if you're looking for porno mags, going on his computer, checking his websites, checking his email, or going on his phone and checking everything else, like his text and who he's been talking to. By the way, I just got a text from my friend Nikki. Very nice redhead at the party. Yeah. Two thumbs up and a bell, baby. Thank you for that, by the way. Sorry, see, I was just checking my cell phone. At any rate, ladies, please, what do you expect to find? I mean, I've known women in my life that have done this. I understand if you have some trust problems because he cheated on you or something like that, but I'm talking to you ladies that just look for shit to sedate your own wild imaginations of what your boy might be doing wrong. I also understand that most of you probably won't listen to me, and you're going to go to the effort of dumpster diving through your boyfriend's text messages and emails, just like the many women before you. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't blame you for this. I blame guys like Tiger Woods and Elliot Spitzer. So high profile in the news, they just give men a bad name. However, that still doesn't remove the blame that can be placed on you for being equally as untrustworthy or impinging on, you know, his personal space. Some things are better left between your boyfriend and his ex, quite frankly. That said, there are two components that make up the whole going through your significant other's personal shit debacle. And those are how trustworthy you are and how trustworthy your man is. If you go around dating dudes who do not want to commit to you, dare I say the players, guys like me, then chances are, if you go through their stuff, you will find something you don't like. And you will most likely be right in getting absolutely shit-rocking upset by it. However, you probably should have seen it coming. And if you didn't, well, here's your heads up. You've also now given them an out of your bad behavior through your own bad behavior, essentially putting yourself in a no-win situation. Think about how your personal communication could be misinterpreted, and then apply that to how you could view this. On the other hand, the truth of the matter is, you could be dating the most thoughtful man on the planet, who wouldn't even look at another woman. Never mind send sketchy texts or emails to her. And you will find shit you don't like. The only way you aren't going to find something that doesn't upset you in one way or another is if you abstain from looking for it altogether. But face it, insecurity is something that can easily get the best of you. So getting to a point where you are self-assured and confident enough will not only, hopefully, keep you from looking for trouble, but it will essentially lessen the potential of that trouble even happening. Because guys are attracted to confidence, and as a result will be less likely to stray. Now, making assumptions is another mood killer and can easily put a crack in the walls of your bond. If you're going through someone's stuff, ladies, you're automatically showing a distrust in that person. So you may be more likely to jump to a bad conclusion from a text or email that could be interpreted in just multiple ways. For example, say you're scrolling through his text and you see one from Crystal that says, "Meet you at the movies at 10. Now, it wouldn't be totally off base to assume that Crystal is some kind of skank and he's cheating on you with her. If not just for her name alone, Crystal. But Crystal could easily be his sister or cousin or another equally non-threatening third party. It also doesn't hurt to keep in mind your own texts and emails, and how your man could respond if he got his hands on those. Think about how your personal communication could be misinterpreted, and then apply that to how you could view his. And at the end of the day, if you can't put his cell phone down, it might be time, honey, to call it quits and find a guy that you can trust. Believe it or not, they're out there. So it's not worth your time becoming just another notch in some dude's belt. All right? Here's a special request. Megahertz, Gott sein.
still bist im Himmel, ich weiß, was dich quält. Gott, der du bist im Himmel, ich weiß, was dir fehlt.
Hey, just for you fans here at Talk Radio X, our very own morning guy, Daryl, Sir Daryl from the Sir Daryl Radio Experience, despite the fact that his ego has gotten much bigger than his head lately, VH1 has posted the full version of Behind the Music with Jennifer Hudson, in which Daryl is featured for a good 4 or 5 minutes on this program. Check out the Facebook postings if you want of Daryl's experience on VH1. Pretty interesting stuff. Congratulations, Sir Daryl. July. It's coming up here in a couple of days. Tomorrow the 3rd in my town. It's a Saturday. We're going to do everything tomorrow. It's a big weekend thing. As a matter of fact, they started stuff last night to celebrate the 4th of July. It's a pretty big deal around here. Tomorrow, the schedule of yours truly is basically pretty simple. Parade, afternoon hangout, barbecue, and then of course, later on, the fireworks. But before I get into talking more about the 4th of July, we're going to take a phone call right here, right now. Phone call, or caller, you're on the air. What's going on?
Yeah, hey, Tyler, how you doing?
I am fantastic. You sound familiar. Who's this?
Oh, I just prefer to remain anonymous.
Oh, that's right. This is Mr. A. How are you?
No. Are you live? I've got something. I got the studio monitor on here. Just a minute.
I most certainly am live, sir.
You're on a delay or what?
Of course. Every radio station is on a delay.
Yeah, but you, the only reason for that is so people don't say fuck or cocksucker or whatever.
Well, that's fine for terrestrial radio, but we really don't need that here, but there's always a delay.
How long is the delay? 30 seconds?
45, 30, 30 to 45.
Holy shit.
Oh, wow. Is there a problem with that? I mean, is there a problem with the delay?
No. Okay. It's just a little confusing. I had the monitor on, and I said, gee, I wonder if he's live or whether it's a replay. Anyway, fuck that noise. So how you been?
I've been fantastic. What prompts the phone call tonight, sir?
Just listening in. I figured, what the hell? I go over to Talk Radio, give it a listen, and there you are. You've matured as an announcer over the years. You're very much more polished than day one, like anyone would be, right?
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, it like anything that you get into, yeah. You know, you just hopefully get better.
Yeah, well, you sound great. What interests me is these bitches looking through the cell phone and shit. Was this live? Was this I was hearing? Or was that a recording? Or?
No, that was live. I was just talking about that about 5 minutes ago.
Oh, okay, because I sent a text here. I'm calling because I didn't know whether or not you got the text. I wrote down something simple, kill the bitch.
Yeah.
Kill the bitch was the first one message. The second one, nosy whore. and I just want to make sure you got that in there because I can't stand these fucking bitches. I had a girlfriend once, not that it's about me. It's just that, you know, this sealed the deal. Take a floor-level dwelling where I'm outside looking through the window, and that latest girlfriend actually had my little black book in her hands, and she was rifling through it.
Oh, that's just wrong right there.
No, but that was it. That was like if she ever had a chance in hell, it flew out the window then.
Right then and there. Yep. I would say
it's
the black book.
An invasion of privacy.
Yep, the black book, the BlackBerry, it's the same thing to me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So. The BlackBerry, that's the one, yeah.
Well,
I just want to say that. Kill the bitch.
Kill the bitch.
The bitch with your phone, shoot that fucking cock-sucking bitch dead.
Well, thank you, sir, for your comment.
You know, it's just an invasion of privacy.
It certainly is, sir.
You know me, privacy is an important thing.
That is true, Mr. Anonymous.
Have a good shift. Talk to you later.
Thank you. There he goes, Mr. Anonymous. He loves to call to throw out the F-bomb and stuff like that. I don't know if he thinks it's a fun thing to do or if, you know, just a like a teasing thing to do. Personally, the folks at the terrestrial stations that I am on, they don't give a shit. Really. When it comes right down to it, the FCC is not listening to me. They're too afraid of me. At any rate, 4th of July has a special meaning for me. All right, it's more of a traditional holiday than almost Christmas is. All right, just forgive me if I believe in my country, even if I doubt it sometimes. And the 4th of July has special meaning to many other Americans, too. And I would say who have fought in recent wars, soldiers. I mean, the 4th of July commemorates the signing of the Declaration of Independence by the Continental Congress. July 4th, 1776, marked our Day of Independence by the Continental Congress. The reason it is so special is because we fought war for independence. All right? We voiced our concerns of taxation without representation. We forced our liberation from England's rule. The point made here is that we stand for self. Thus, self-willingness, self-exertion, self-determination, and self-sacrifice, most important. Now, today we fight a war for the independence of another land. This land is a country miles away from the great American soil. And yet, the decision to fight this man's war has not once thought about how the country will feel if and when independence has been achieved. Think about that for a minute. Will they be able to share the same pride of independence as our forefathers? Will they be able to use we as a term to describe self? As it stands today, no. for our American and coalition forces have stepped up to help this country gain its independence. Decades from now, will their children's children celebrate independence with singing songs of victory, shedding tears for loved ones lost to war, and celebrate the life and freedoms they enjoy as it stands today? No. The connection to our participation in the war against terrorism is not just about avoiding terrorism on American soil, but to allow a people to understand the true meaning of independence. This will allow them to proclaim their self-willingness, self-exertion, and their self-determination and self-sacrifice to their war for independence. Please do understand that there is no stronger sense of accomplishment but if by self. So think about it. In a couple of days, this 4th of July should allow America to take on new views and new profound concerns about something we have held dear since 1776. Independence. Our government should not take away the opportunity of other countries to form its own histories and accomplishments. Our government should allow pride to flourish in the same manner as that of our country. To what price will we continue to pay to a war that doesn't support or provide sovereignty to the people of its country? Let us, as an American people, think about how we might celebrate our independence if it were not gain for ourselves and by ourselves. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Holy Bible, Luke 14:31. We'll be right back. I've just been told that Mo the Angry Bear has arrived in the studio. He's making his way to the CIC right now. Let's give him a round of applause. There he is. Hello, Mo the Angry Bear.
You know, I'm starting to think, Tyler, that maybe I should have my own intro theme.
Really?
When I arrive on the show, it gives me something to walk out down the hallway of the green, from the green room to here to the CIC. It gives me, I can get a little strut going as I come on over to the chair.
A little strut, so you're looking for your own music. Oh, well, I don't know.
I think you should work on that for next week.
I'll see what I can do.
See what you can do for me, okay?
Okay, I promise.
All right, so, first things first, Tyler.
Theme music.
It's summertime.
It is.
And the families are hitting the road more often than usual.
Yep, time for travel.
And one of the great joys of travel is the joy of using public restrooms.
Jesus.
Yes, people are slobs. And as near as I can tell, both genders are equally guilty.
They are.
But my biggest gripe is with the idiots that mount the toilet paper dispensers.
The toilet paper dispensers?
Now, I'm painfully aware of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Mm-hmm. Being 2 feet tall and having an intermittently bad back.
What?
It's such a joy.
You're a teddy bear.
Having to climb up to wash my hands, even at child level.
And sit still, for God's sake.
but for the life of me, I cannot understand why the toilet paper dispensers are mounted at the lowest possible height allowed by law.
They are
19
mounted.
Inches.
They are low.
This is especially frustrating considering that most commercial toilets are at least 16 inches or higher, and invariably, the dispenser is mounted right next to the toilet itself.
That is true.
Not a few inches in front.
No.
So, that you practically have to get up and turn around to get a handful of paper.
Oh, God, I hate that.
That's for most of you people. Now, for me,
oh, God.
That type of setup, I could literally knock myself out or kill myself.
That's true, you're so short.
Also fun are the dispensers that are mounted below the level of the toilet. These are usually found in stalls that are so goddamn small, you practically have to stand up on the toilet to close the freaking door behind you. So if you don't grab the TP before sitting down, you might as well forget the whole thing.
True.
And wipe with a finger. I know, it sounds gross.
It certainly does.
And you know what? Those double roll dispensers that you see now, they
yeah.
have like two rolls.
Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah.
Slide them back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
They're nice. Allowing restroom cleaning staff to avoid the chore for much longer periods of time, no doubt. And they're usually mounted a bit further out, but provide different challenges. When they are mounted too low, the paper is very difficult to grab, as it somehow always tears too far up, like at the top of the roll. And you gotta wedge your hand up underneath the dispenser to try to spin the roll around.
True.
Now, it may be a little easier for me because I can look up and under, but Jesus Christ, I don't need a bird's eye view. And this isn't just a challenge for adults. I've seen kids have issues, too. I've seen kids fall off the potty while fishing for TP. Always good for a few Snickers from the adults that witness this, but terribly embarrassing if you happen to be an angry bear standing no higher than the size of a Chucky doll.
Oh, nicely done, sir. Nicely done. You. You're welcome.
All right, Tyler, tonight, since we're talking about bathrooms and toilet paper and bathroom stalls, I have... For the tonight's top 10, the top 10 things written on bathroom stalls.
No, no, you didn't.
And what I'm going to do here, Tyler, is read you what I have seen written. I've actually recorded these.
Oh, my God.
And I will tell you exactly where I saw these particular quotes.
Mo has collected quotes from bathroom stalls.
Of genius on these bathroom stalls.
Oh, of genius.
Okay,
yes.
Here we go. Here we go. Number 10, no matter how good she looks. Some other guy is sick and tired of putting up with her shit. That quote came from the men's room at Linda's Bar and Grill in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Chapel Hill!
Number 9. To do is to be. Descartes. To be is to do. Voltaire. Doobie-doobie-doo. Frank Sinatra. That was at the men's restroom, Greasewood Flats, Scottsdale, Arizona.
Greasewood Flats. Sounds like a diner.
Number 8. It's hard to make a comeback when you haven't been anywhere. That was written in the dust on the back of a bus in Wickenburg, Arizona.
Don't they clean the buses?
I've been everywhere. Number 7. God is dead.
Oh, you screwed that
number
up.
Number 7. God is dead. Nietzsche. Nietzsche is dead.
God.
The Tombs Restaurant, Washington, D.C.
Nice.
How fitting.
That was fitting, wasn't it?
Number 6. If voting could really change things, it would be illegal. Revolution Books, New York, New York.
Ooh, been there.
Number 5. A woman's rule of thumb. If it has tires or testicles, you're going to have trouble with it. Women's restroom, Dick's Last Resort.
Women's?
Dallas, Texas.
What are you doing?
And yes, I was in the women's restroom. It was my last resort that particular night.
Well, okay.
Shut up.
All right.
Number 4. If pro is opposite of con, then what is the opposite of progress?
Congress.
Congress! It's at the men's room, believe it or not, in the House of Representatives.
Get out.
Washington, D.C. Yes, the bear's been there.
Ah, nice.
Number 3, the best way to a man's heart is to saw his breastplate open.
Oh, gross.
That was in the women's room of Murphy's.
Murphy's?
Champaign, Illinois. And don't ask me why I was there.
Oh, come on.
Or who I was with.
Oh, come on.
I'll deny everything.
Ah, figures.
Number 2, beauty is only a light switch away. That was in the Perkins Library at Duke University.
And it's
Durham,
true.
North Carolina.
And it's true.
And finally, the number 1 thing I've seen written on bathroom stalls. If life is a waste of time, and time is a waste of life,
so old.
Then let's all get wasted together and have the time of our lives.
All right, there you go.
I found that at Arnold's Pizza in Washington, D.C.
Nice. Thank
Tyler,
you, Mo.
Thank you for the time.
You're welcome.
Good night. We'll see you next week. I want theme music.
Theme music. You got it.
I've been the bear. I'm out of here.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. The bear, the angry bear, he's done. He's gone. He's out. As a matter of fact, it's time to get out the door. So with that, I'm going to leave you with this. Monday night, we're going to be back live right here on the Talk Radio X Global Streaming Radio Network. Coming up next, it's going to be Dr. Rock, Dino, and T. 2 hours of the Dr. Rock Show. Make sure you stay tuned in for that. By the way, congratulations, Dr. Rock. You know what that means. Folks, join me Saturday night, late tomorrow night, for another edition of Club Hollywood, if you wish. Lots of music, lots of rants. And, of course, don't forget, Monday, back here live, same Tyler time, same Tyler channel. Good night, everybody. Have a happy 4th.